ready. I thought we had one more song to go, but I guess not. So, well, we are in the middle of this series of David, the boy. We've talked about the man. We finished up last week, and now we go into his kingship. And today we're going to be in Second Samuel, chapter 11. As some of you know your Bible, you'll know kind of where we're going today. David has done a lot of great things in his kingdom, and he is now been anointed as king, officially being king here now. Saul is out of the picture. Saul has died in a battle, and now we see that David is a king, and he's done a lot of battles and won so many things, and he's just a great warrior and a good king, good to the people, and all those things. And we're going to come up to a place where I want to remind you that all the things you've done in your past, they can be great testimonies that are part of your life. That's who you are. But also I want to remind you, you have to live. If you've lived like 20 years for the Lord, you need to continue to live for Him. And you need to be aware that temptation can come upon all of us. It comes upon all of us. And those old temptation, or those old testimonies are there to help and guide us and lead us, and they're part of our lives, and we celebrate those testimonies that are good, and we thank the Lord for them, but we just have to make sure that what we're doing today is just as good as we were doing last year, that we're still following Jesus, that we're still following. Here we find David, he's in a place, in chapter 11, we find him in a place, and we're going to find him in a place that's not a good thing that's getting ready to happen. Also, I want to give you this point here as well. Idle time can be also not a good time. Idle time is a time of temptation for many people. When you find yourself in a place where you're not, it's just you, you're secluded, and seclusiveness, and you're just being there with yourself, you've got to be careful. Get up and do something. Your mind will begin to go, and temptation can creep really quick. We're going to see this here in chapter 11 in 2 Samuel. It says in verse 1, in the spring, when kings march out to war, David sent Joab and his officers and all Israel, and they destroyed the Amalekites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. And one evening, David got up from his bed and strolled around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing, a very beautiful woman. So David sent someone to inquire about her, and he said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, and wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to him, he slept with her. Now she had just been purifying herself from her uncleanliness. Afterwards, she returned home. The woman conceived and sent word to inform David, "I am pregnant." He hears words now that "I am pregnant." Starts all with a piece of just some idle time. It says in the spring when kings would go out to war in the battle, and for some reason David doesn't do that. He gets out of his rhythm. He gets out of his normal thing. But here we find out that David falls into this moment of lust. And it says he doesn't fight the lust. He actually goes into the lust and actually sends someone to inquire of who this person is. And so we see here he falls into temptation. And then what happens is he commits adultery. And now this woman of another man is pregnant. Some of you can relate to that. Some of you can relate to being with the words of "I am pregnant." And so what happens is, what sin does, sin says this: it's time to cover it up. Got to fix it. Got to fix it. Sin demands so much. And here we find out what David does. David knows this guy. He's actually one of his 30 mighty men. If you go into Chronicles, it'll tell you he's one of the mighty men of David. Uriah, he tells Joab, his general out there, "I want you to put Uriah out there and basically bring him home," brings him home and get him home. He gets him drunk. He wants him to go home so he can have a moment with his wife so they can cover it all up. But he refuses. He lays down at the palace with his servants a couple of days in a row. He doesn't. So David sends him back out and tells a letter to Joab, his general, and says, "Hey, I want you to put him on the front line. where the battle spheres. Basically, he's saying, if I can't get him to think that he's going to be the dad, then I could just get rid of him out of the picture. And basically, Uriah gets out there and he gets in this fierce battle and he ends up dying. And David just pretty much says, well, if they fall, they fall. And David does it, hears about Uriah dying, and then what he does, he sends over for Bathsheba, and then he marries Bathsheba. And he thinks he's got it covered. But let me tell you, you know this, when you sin and you got a sin in your life and you know it's messing with you and you know it's there, you know it doesn't matter what you do, you can't hide it. Can't get rid of it. That's where we're going to go today. So David is struggling. It says at the end of chapter 11, it says, however, the Lord considered what David had done to be evil. So what we do is we figure out what is really going on here. Well, Psalms 51 will tell us and show us some things about the heart of David. We found out through Scripture earlier in our series that David was a man after God's own heart. It doesn't mean he didn't sin. We see that he sins here. But here's something about him. We're going to see here, if you have your Bibles now, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 51. How bad does sin really mess us up? How bad does it really weigh us down? How bad does really sin feel? For you see, some people just go out and do life and they just do it. And if anybody's in their way, they'll run them right over. They don't care. They don't care. But there's something different with the believer. There should be something different. We all have a conscience. We all have a conscience. But we all do not have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Not every human being has the Holy Spirit. Only those who have Jesus Christ, right? But every human being has a conscience. And people's consciences are different. It is different. People's consciences are different. Some people believe that this is wrong. Some people believe that's wrong. Some people believe what they did, even if they broke the law, well, they owed me that. That person owed me that. Well, they're not going to miss it. They have more and they should be sharing with everybody. Everybody's conscience is different. But the Holy Spirit is the same. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that dwells in a believer. This is why, as a believer, before you became a believer, when you did things that were bad, you did things that were sinful, you may not have known all of them, and even now that we can sin, we don't know, but here it is, we know in the beginning, we just know that people, they just feel differently. But we as believers, this comes at a cost. And we're going to see the heart of David as he begins to work through this. He shares with us how he feels about all of this. You see, in the moment when he's doing all this stuff, he's just trying to hide it. He's trying to cover it all up. He's trying to cover it all up in the way that he can and try to cover it up. You know what he was doing when he was trying to cover up his sin? He's doing this with the Lord. He just keeps moving away from the Lord more and more and more. And the farther you move away from the Lord, the farther you move away from the lifestyle that you know you're supposed to live, the more uglier it's going to get. But there's something on the inside of a believer that is just tormenting. In Psalms 51, this is the part, this is where we see David's heart. He says, be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love. According to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion, completely wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. And what we see here is we see David beginning to share what is on his heart. You see, what happened is when David did those things, he did that, and here is Bathsheba's getting bigger and bigger, and she has this baby, she's pregnant, she's carrying this baby, and this prophet comes and shakes up David's world. And basically, this prophet Nathan just tells David, you've been sinning, and God knows it. And it breaks David right there. It just breaks David right there. I want you to be careful not to have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. And be careful how you judge others. And David is saying, blot out my rebellion. You see, sometimes we don't like to call out what we do, sin. We don't like to call it out. We want to bury it. We want to bring it down. We want to hide it, but it is truthfully. We don't want to say for what it is that it is. It is blot out my rebellion. When we sin, we are rebelling against the Lord. And he says, completely wash away my guilt. The Holy Spirit will come up when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and tells you, and you know what you did is wrong. There's all of a sudden, there's a heaviness inside of you. You know exactly. Every one of you that are a believer know what that heaviness feels like. And if you don't know what the heaviness of the Holy Spirit feels like, I'm wondering if you really have the Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you, we've all are sinners. Amen. But we are sinners saved by grace. We're sinners saved by Jesus Christ. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit is heavy. It is heavy. God does not want us to sin. And when we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts. And there's a guilt that comes upon us. And here it is. He says, completely wash my guilt away and cleanse me from my sin. All of it. Because he says, I am conscious of my rebellion. I don't care where you want to put your sin at. The sin is always, it's there until you deal with it. It's there. And here it is. It's always coming up. He says, my sin is always before me. You can't shake it. Know why? Because it's yours. It's yours. It's your deed. It's your action. It's your whatever thoughts, whatever it is, it's yours. And it's you. It's your sin. It's your sin, and you have to deal with it. And there, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But he says, I've done this evil. I've done this evil. He is confessing to what he's done. And he says, when you pass sentence, you are blameless. And God is the judge. Sin will bring you to a place where it's going to be all bare before the Lord. If you want to get your sin taken care of, you've got to get all bare before the Lord. Verse 7, he says, purify me with hyssop and I will be clean. And wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt. Here he's saying, he says, I want to be clean again, because when we have sin, we have known sin in our life and we're not dealing with it, we feel spiritually dirty. We just do. And we want God to do some things, but we just have that, and there's this wall here and we act like it's not there, but we know it's there. And we find out, that guilt, everywhere I go, it goes with me. Everywhere I go, it goes with me. Verse 10 says, God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. He says, God, create a clean heart for me. Give me a clean heart. Wash me white as snow. Clean it up. Because here it is. We can't do anything with the sin once we commit it. We can't do it. It's ours. It is completely ours. It is ours until we ask the Lord to forgive us. That's it. It is yours. And you know what? You can have it. You can carry sin in your life for 20 years. If you have a dislike for a family member and you can't stand them and you almost get to the point where you have bitterness and then all of a sudden now you begin to hate them and you begin to sin, you just have that sin all the time. It's just not a good thing. You can carry that sin for years. What he understands, he says, I am so crushed with my sin, has crushed me so much. Now I want to get rid of the guilt, and I want to get a clean heart. This doesn't feel good for me. It just doesn't feel good. And then the believer says, I don't want to be away from the Lord. I don't want to be away from the Lord, but that's what sin does. It drives a wedge in relationships, in our relationship with the Lord. It just doesn't. One of the things it does, he says, restore the joy of your salvation to me. You want to talk about it? Just lose your joy. Your worship is half-heartedly. Your prayers aren't working. Let me just tell you a couple of things that sin really does. It does. It steals your joy. It steals your joy in the Lord. It steals your joy in life. It just steals and just, that's what sin does. It destroys. It steals your joy. Christians are supposed to be joyful, amen? But when we are living in sin, we can put a fake smile on ourselves. We can do that, but the Lord knows. It's a weight. Sin is a weight. David is explaining here it's like a weight, but you can't take it off. You can't take it off because we commit a sin. He commits the sin and it's there. It's on him. And it's a sin that he can't deal with. He cannot deal with it on his own. It's funny how we can commit sin on our own, but we can't deal with it on our own. The older I get, the more I realize how much I need Jesus every single, not just every day, but every second of my day. Also know how slick and how evil the dark one is, the dark side of Satan is, and his army is. That they will, doesn't matter how old you are, he still tries to find ways to suck you into temptation. Doesn't matter. Isn't it funny? David's in the palace. The men are out fighting the battle. And Satan's fighting the battle and he goes to the palace. Satan's not looking out there. He's not looking out. David is looking for men and women who love Jesus. And he loves to attack the men and women that want to serve God. And I believe with all my heart. The more I read David, the more I just love this character. I just love this man. David's an awesome man. But he's also flawed like you and I. The difference is that we get to read David's sinful junk. A lot of beautiful things. But I'm so thankful my life is not in this. But you want your sins bared before all. And so we get to learn from David. And learn what it looks like to be a person who is crushed by their sins. Not only will sin steal your joy and the weight, it's a weight you can't lift, but sin reminds you over and over about what you did. It's a rerun. It's a rerun over and over. And as much as you try to suppress it, as much as you say, oh, I went to the Lord and asked for forgiveness because... Listen, those drive-through confessions, they don't really work. Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins today. Thank you. Bless me. Amen. And we didn't talk about anything. I'm just trying to get a real quick pass by God. Sin always comes up. It never stops reminding you of what you've done. That's enough to drive a person crazy. That's enough to destroy your whole life. But you know, even with that, sometimes we know what we're supposed to do, right? We know what we're supposed to do. This is why he says, this is why David is saying, man, this is always coming up before me, because he didn't deal with it. He kept living in it. And this is why he's miserable. He's got a woman there. He married her. He thought that would cover it up. Also, when you have sin in your life, your prayers are weak. Your prayers go, they're weak. James tells us the fervent prayer of a righteous man, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, the veil of much, which tells us a man who's living for God, his prayers are powerful. But the complete opposite is true, too. When you're not living for the Lord, your prayers are weak. And so we know that when we have sin in our life, we're not really going to get deep into our prayers, because if we get deep into our prayers, guess what? We know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. We need to talk about something. And as that Walt Disney, we don't talk about Bruno. We say the same thing. We don't want to talk about that. But that's what the Lord exactly wants to talk about. So we stop the conversation. Amen. And we go on. And we think we've done something good today. We've talked to the Lord. Come on now, do we have a witness here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? We know it's there. We're dealing with it. And then all of a sudden, we also see that sin keeps us from the blessings of God. I want to be honest with you today. I love the blessings of God. They're more than I can ever imagine. They're more than I can count. They're more than I know. There's more than I even realize. There's more than I can be thankful for. I don't want that to go away. But I'm a man in my 50s and I have sinned. And I know what it's like when the blessings of God, it starts to turn off. Let me remind you too. This is a full adultery. This was murder. This is pretty tough stuff here. But when you lie to your spouse, you do the same thing. When you lie to your parents, it's the same thing. Don't think God does not. Don't you think that the sin of lying or gossiping or whatever it is just. It's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. Because Jesus died on the cross for those two. Let's not shortchange the sins that we've committed like this one is. So also it does sin keeps you from being blessed. It keeps you from being a blessing to others. If you're teaching the Sunday school class, your class is not going to be as good as it used to be. Or as it was. If your preaching is not going to be as good as it should be. And if your singing is not going to be, you're not going to bless as it was. When you have sin in your life, you're not a blessing to others. Man, sin just really destroys, doesn't it? It destroys your testimony. It destroys your service to the Lord. It destroys everything around you. And you can put a smile on your face and you can whitewash it all and you can fake some people out. But let me remind you, you can never fake the Lord out. He knows. He knows. Sin also hurts not just you. It does hurt you, doesn't it? It hurts your family sometimes. And folks, sin also hurts the church. And it hurts the Lord. I'm about sick of talking about sin right now. It's so bad. It's so bad. It is so bad. But the sin is yours until you deal with it. How do we deal with it? We got to confess it. You got to say it. Lord, forgive me my sins today. I do that sometimes because I don't know. Sometimes we sin and we don't know we sin. And I want to say, Lord, I don't know if I've done anything against you today, but I just ask you to forgive me today. I'm not as smart as others, but I know your Holy Spirit's convicting me. Just let me know what it is, but whatever it is, I want to confess that today because I want to be a good servant to you. But what is the Lord looking for? In verse 17, it says, the sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. Let me go back up to 16 for a minute. He says, you do not want a sacrifice or I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. Let me just share what that might look like today. A person who can put $100,000 or $1 million in an offering plate, that doesn't take away their sin. Amen. You can give buildings away to the Lord. It doesn't take away sin. Those are sacrifices that we might make today. I'm going to give so I can get my sins taken care of. Listen, somebody already bought those sins. If you seek forgiveness, and that's Jesus. So there's nothing as valuable as the blood of Christ that can pay your sins and take your sins away. So he says, the sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and humble heart of God. So we see here that we need to be broken because that's what sin does. It breaks us all the way through. But it doesn't, the sin, the only way to get it right is to come to Christ and confess what you did. And sometimes, folks, sometimes it is done with tears. God give us emotions. Sometimes it's done with falling upon knees, and I've been there, falling upon knees and saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on. And sometimes it's not even sin. Sometimes it's just, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but things doesn't look right. And it's okay for a man to drop or a woman to drop on their knees and plead to God. But I will remind you, when you're pleading for something, sometimes God will miss so many times. He'll bring something up, not of your past sins. God doesn't bring your past sins up. We do. But he says, there's something in your life I want to talk about. I know you want to talk about this, X, Y, and C, but I want to talk about A, B, and C. And sometimes you find out what you intentionally went to pray about, it changed. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You had intentions to go to pray to God about something, but God turned it and wanted to talk about something else. And so many times God wants to talk about you. You know, when we go and ask God, God, would you change my aunt? Would you change my spouse? Would you change my son? Would you change my daughter? Would you change all these people? And God says, I want to talk about you. Because I just want to remind you, God can deal with us. God knows how to deal with people better than we ever could. He's been dealing with people since Adam and Eve, and he's a professional. He is it. He's the creator of all of it. David says, this is what the Lord wants. A broken and a humble heart. You see, when you're broken, it means you're done. And you know what? When you humble heart, you open yourself up. So when you go before the Lord and you are broken and you open yourself up, God can do a lot. As much as you keep it closed up and you got yourself all tight and you're holding on to your stuff and you're holding on to your sin, it's still yours. It's still yours. It's still yours. What happens with David is this prophet told David that your son's going to die. Some other things we're not going to get into. Some other consequences. And I do want to remind you, even when you when you repent to the Lord and you seek forgiveness, sometimes there is consequences for the sins that we commit. If you go rob a bank and you get caught and you confess your sins to the Lord, if you do it with the right heart, that's what we talked about, you seek that, the Lord will forgive you. But there's consequences. You might have to do some time in prison. And sometimes God allows his people to go with the consequences of their sin. Folks, there are consequences to sin. Amen? But I want to remind you, God is awesome. You see, this baby ends up dying. Because he said that's what was going to happen. David fasts, but it doesn't. God said it was going to die, and it died. But there was something that happens. David and Bathsheba are married. They're married. And they have a baby. I want to read something that's a lot of people don't talk about. I want to read something here in 2 Samuel verse 12. Verse 24. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba because they had lost that baby. And he went to her and he slept with her. And she gave birth to a son and named him Solomon. Here we go. Listen. And the Lord loved him. And the Lord loved him. You see, when you seek forgiveness and you seek forgiveness, God forgives. He doesn't hold it against you. Some of you need to let go of the sins that's been committed to you, against you. Some of you need to let go. What was God able to do? God was able to forgive this whole mess, even with murder, lust, adultery, all that was in there. A man got his heart right with God. Married Bathsheba. They have a son. Their first son was done all through sin and it died. But here it says, they gave birth to a son, named him Solomon, and the Lord loved him. The Lord loves you. Even when you're sinning, the Lord loves you. God loves you so much that he made a way that our sins could be forgiven. Some of you have done some things in your past that you just kind of buried and put them in a skull, in a closet, put the key in, locked it up, and you threw away the key. What you're really saying is, I did some things and I'm just not going to deal with it. Nobody needs to know what it is, and I'm going to throw it, I'm going to cast it away. But it keeps bothering you. You've got it to a point where you suppress it. You don't even bring it up. You've not shared it with anybody. You keep it to yourself or whatever it is. Or we don't talk about that in our family no more. We don't talk about that. We don't deal with that. Well, I'm not going to do that. Whatever it may be. But I want to remind you, it's yours. Even if you think you did it your way, you can't deal with sin the way you can't do it in your way. There's only one way to take care of it. And the Apostle John shares with 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, all that ungodly living. There's a way to deal with all that stuff in your life. You have to get right with Jesus. It's that simple. And you do it on his terms. You got to open up your heart. You got to confess it. I don't need to know what your sins are. I have a hard time just leading my own life. Life is tough. The devil's wicked. But you have a life to live, and I have a life to live. And God wants us to live righteously. He just does. And if he wants us to live righteously, then we ought to try to do our best in his spirit to live righteously. But sometimes we get off the path and we just sin. We just do something that is against God. But you know what? He tells us, deal with it. You've got to deal with it or it'll chew you up. And you will not be the man that God wants you to be. You'll start falling away from being the woman that God was leading you to be. You need to deal with your sin. And the only way to do it is to do it in the right way. And that is to get right with God. Confess your sin. Own it. Own it. And I believe that the Lord will just do exactly what the Word says. He'll cast as far as the east is from the west. And he'll put his arms around you. I know what that's like, folks. Had that a couple times. In my own home. In a car pulled off the side of the road. In the church at an altar. The arms of Jesus are just so loving and so soft and so powerful, yet it's right. And when he forgives, I want to tell you folks, he forgives. But he does give you a memory. Not to be remembered of the, just to be reminded, don't do it again. Don't go to that place no more. Don't spend so much time with that person. Keep that person or walk away from that person. They're always leading you in the wrong way. Be strong and be courageous and live the life that Jesus wants you to live. He wants you to live a righteous life. So if you have sin in your life this morning, I want to tell you, you can't get it taken care of by any way except through Jesus, confessing. And don't be cheesy about it, because God knows if you put any effort in it or not. It's all here. Not just here, it's here. Right here. And maybe today the Lord wants to talk to you. Now the funny thing is, we're going to do an altar call here and everybody's going to think whoever goes down has sin. But I want to remind you, you can take care of it right where you're at. You can come to the altar. You can do whatever you need to do. You just make sure you do it in the way that not makes you happy, but is doing it right in front of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is still alive, folks. Jesus is still doing his thing. And God is still doing his thing. And maybe today I just need to get a little bit closer to Jesus. Just a little bit. Father, as we move into this moment of our service, I pray, Father, your will would be done on each one of us, that we might lift up your name in a joyful way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.